Drew, you have to... He reached for her. I know. I just have to do this first. He kissed her, long and slow. He felt her relax against him and wanted to forget about going to the airport. He wanted to pick her up, get in that cozy-looking bed with her, and have a few more rounds, then tuck her against his side all night long. He pulled away from her with a sigh. She kissed him on the cheek. "I'm so glad I got stuck in that elevator with you," she said. "Me too." Chapter 9. After one last hard kiss on her lips, he raced out to the car and peeled away toward the freeway. Alexa collapsed against her front door, almost unable to believe what had just happened. What had happened over the past 48 hours? She stumbled back to her bedroom and flopped on her bed, the stripes of her duvet cover blurring as she stared at it. 30 minutes later, she was in the same spot. She sat up and tried to pull herself together. She'd known from the beginning that it was just one weekend, and she'd never hear from him again. And it was a great weekend, punctuated by some very hot, against-the-wall sex at the end there. She would never look at her bedroom wall the same way, so she should be cheerful, not maudlin. Alexa, snap out of it! Her phone buzzed, and she reached for it, expecting it to be another text from Maddie. "Made my flight by the skin of my teeth." She could feel that dreamy smile back on her face. Oh, the hell with it. She allowed herself that night to swoon and mope about this weekend before falling back to earth. She texted back before she could overthink her response. "Smiley face, glad you made it." She should call Maddie and update her. Maddie had forced her to go through with the fake date in the first place, after all. She had to thank her for getting her to break her celibacy streak in an impressive fashion. But not yet. Right now, she needed to hug this whole weekend close to her chest and hold on to it tight before sharing it with anyone. She puttered around the house, changed out of the dress he'd almost torn off her, and into yoga pants and a tank top and underwear, unloaded her dishwasher, went through the rest of the work emails that had come in this weekend, and made a to-do list for the work week. But all the time, she thought about Drew. The way he'd laughed whenever she'd laughed. The way he kept touching her, like his hands belonged on her skin. The way he'd smiled at her in the middle of the night, like he was so happy to have her there with him in his bed. The way he ate his burrito with tortilla chips as utensils, and blushed when she teased him about it. The whole time she hoped she'd get another text from him after he landed, or after he got home. But her phone stayed silent. She thought about texting him again. But what was she supposed to say? "Had a great time having sex with you this weekend. Can't stop thinking about it," was all she could think of. And that was a little too on the nose. To keep herself occupied, she finally texted Maddie. "Fine. You were right. Broke my streak with elevator guy. Sorry I didn't check in before. Was occupied with him all weekend. Wink face. Going to bed now and turning off my phone, but I'll give you all the details ASAP." Hopefully, that was breezy enough that it didn't show she'd been moping over him for the past 2 hours. Maybe by the time she woke up the next day, she would actually feel like that. She didn't turn off her phone, of course. She left it on all night, hoping he would text again, which meant she saw Maddie's exclamation point-filled response, but there was nothing else from Drew. When she rolled out of bed the next morning, she groaned. She was so sore all over that it felt like she'd gone to the world's hardest yoga class right after running a 10K and right before a weightlifting competition. Nope, just hours of athletic sex in all sorts of crazy positions. She grinned in the hot shower. Despite the body aches, she felt a lot better this morning than she had last night. She laughed when she saw finger-shaped bruises on her shoulders and hips and hickeys on her breasts. What was she, 22? Except she'd never had sex that good when she was 22. She whistled as she pulled her robe on and started the coffee maker and took 3 Advil along with her first sip of coffee. She threw on a boat-necked long-sleeve shift dress that covered up all of her sex-related injuries and headed to work. Her boss always got in late on Monday mornings, thank God, so she would have a few hours of relative peace in the office to start the week. Well, she got an hour of peace until Maddie called at 9 on the dot. "You were going to call me when, exactly?" She laughed and closed her office door. Drew walked into the hospital that Monday morning and jumped into the elevator right before it closed, only to find his friend and fellow doctor, Carlos Ibarra, part of the crowd inside. "Just the dude I was looking for," Carlos said. "How was the wedding?" "A hell of a lot better than he thought it was going to be, that was for sure," Drew smirked. Carlos's eyebrows went up and he shook his head. "Of course. Why would I have thought anything less of you?" Drew noticed the interested glances sent their way and gave Carlos a warning look. Carlos, of course, exaggeratedly zipped his lips. Always discreet, that one. They got off on the 10th floor, and Carlos followed him to his office, shutting the door behind them. "Okay, now you can tell me. Found a woman in the elevator and spent all weekend banging her, huh?" Drew relaxed into his desk chair and turned on his computer. "Not quite all weekend," he grinned again. Carlos sat in the chair on the other side of his desk. "Oh, God, leave it to you. I can't believe you picked up someone in an elevator and made her your plus one to your ex's wedding." Drew grimaced. "Oh, it was even worse. I forgot to tell you. I accidentally told Josh she was my girlfriend, so..." Carlos leaned back in the chair. "You? A girlfriend? So she had to fake it all night? How did you get her to do that?" Drew grinned. "Just my natural charm, I guess." Carlos's phone buzzed, and he glanced at it. "Oh, I bet everyone at the wedding grilled the poor girl. I hope she was up to the pretense." Was she ever? Man, he really couldn't have picked a better person to be stuck in an elevator with, could he? She works in politics, so she's good at stuff like that. She'd been good at a lot of things. Pretending to be his girlfriend, striking back at Amy, that little thing she did with her hips. "Stop it," Carlos said. "You keep getting this thinking about the sex you just had look on your face, and I'm sick of that look from you." Drew shook his head to clear it. He had a feeling he'd be thinking about the sex he'd had with Alexa for at least a few days. "Sorry, but you asked about her. One thought led to another, and..." He shrugged. "I'm only human." Carlos stood up and opened Drew's top desk drawer to grab some of the candy out of it. "Well, at least you had an ironclad excuse for getting out of there early yesterday. I know how you are with women. Good thing you had to get back here for that golf thing." Oh, shit. The golf tournament. Carlos laughed at the look on Drew's face. "What? Did you get home and then bail on the golf tournament? Too tired from elevator girl?" Drew sighed. "See, what had happened was..." Carlos laughed. "Oh, shit. Now this is getting good. Go on." Carlos leaned back and propped his feet up on Drew's desk. He was going to get so much shit for this, but now he'd said too much to not tell the whole story. Carlos would get it out of him eventually anyway. "I kind of changed my flight to last night, and I forgot all about the golf tournament. So that's what happened, more or less." Carlos took his feet down and stared at Drew. "You changed your flight? To hang out with elevator girl?" Drew shrugged and leaned back in his chair, trying to play it off. "You know I hate golf. The tournament was just an excuse to get out of there, but once I had Alexa, I didn't need an excuse anymore." He twitched under Carlos's gaze. His phone buzzed, and he glanced over at it, just an update on a patient. Carlos snatched his phone before he could pull it away. "Oh, her name was Alexa, huh? Is that Alexa texting you?" Drew stood up and reached over the desk for his phone. "Alexa Monroe. And no, as you can see, it wasn't her." Carlos handed him back the phone with a wide grin on his face. "What?" Alexa Monroe. You like this girl. Drew shrugged again, pretending that he didn't know what Carlos meant. Sure, of course I liked her. We had a great time this weekend. Carlos shook his head, still grinning. No, you like her. You wanted that to be a text from her. You know you did. You should have heard your voice when you said her name and said it wasn't from her. You wanted her to text you. Drew shook his head, then gave up. Carlos would just keep pushing until he admitted it anyway. I wouldn't be mad or anything if she texted me. But she lives in Berkeley, remember? And I live here, in Santa Monica? Carlos reached for Drew's coffee, took a sip, and grimaced. So, let me get this straight. You met a great girl this weekend. You had fun with her. You liked her. Is she ugly? Was the sex bad? Drew smirked again. He didn't mean to, but hell no to both of those things. I can see your answer. To recap, you met a great girl. You had fun with her. You liked her. She's cute. The sex was good. Drew nodded. And you're just never going to see her again? When you put it that way, it didn't make much sense. That was the plan. I guess so, yeah. Carlos stood up. You're such an asshole. I know you're weird about commitment and all, but this is taking it a little far. Text Alexa Monroe. Figure out when you're going to see her again. Don't be an idiot. I mean, even more of one than you already are. Carlos left his office and then ruined his exit by poking his head back in. Hoops at six? Drew nodded as Carlos walked out. Glad he'd remembered to throw his gym bag in the car this morning. Their Monday basketball game would be a good way to get out some of his aggressions from this conversation, where Carlos had somehow gotten the best of him without even trying. It wasn't like he hadn't thought about texting her again. He had wanted to text her when he'd gotten in bed when he got home, when he stopped on the way to work this morning to pick up coffee and was sure she'd already had some, when he saw a billboard for some new fast-food breakfast sandwich and laughed. But he'd held off, because he figured they'd tacitly agreed that this weekend, as great as it was all they'd have. But Carlos had a point. He reached for his phone. Oh, the hell with it. They could at least have another weekend. Maybe this is crazy, but I have lots of frequent flyer miles. Feel like a trip to L.A. this weekend? He didn't let himself think about it and pressed send. By the time she got off the phone with Maddie, the mayor was in, and she only had time for a brief check-in with Theo before he pulled all of the senior staff into their Monday morning meeting. After they finished regular business, the mayor looked at her. Alexa, you're going to get me a memo on our plan forward with that delinquent teen project. End of the week? She locked eyes with Theo across the table from her. He wanted a memo. That was way more than she'd anticipated from his brush-off at their meeting on Friday. Absolutely, she said to her boss. Great. The mayor stood up, and the rest of the room did, too. Good work, people. Theo, one more question for you. He and Theo walked out of the room, deep in conversation about a reporter that the mayor was trying to get on their side, while Alexa stood there, stunned. She was halfway there. Sure, she would have to write the best memo she'd ever written, but she didn't even think he would want that. Granted, just because he was ready to read another memo didn't mean he was ready to throw his weight behind the idea, but it meant he was close. And she really needed to get him to stop calling it a delinquent teen project. She thought she'd made it clear when they met that the correct terminology was at-risk youth. But in the grand scheme of things, that was not a big deal. She walked back to her office, glad she'd made a quick outline of her arguments on her phone in the middle of the night once, when she couldn't sleep. She reached for her phone to read it over. And that's when she saw the text from Drew. She looked over her shoulder. Was she being filmed? Was this a dream? Was this some kind of This Is Alexa's Lucky Day fake reality TV show? Her boss was in on her pet project. A hot guy wanted her to fly to L.A. Was she going to get an email with a $1,000 gift card to Sephora next? He'd sent it 2 hours ago. right when she was telling Maddie that she was sure she'd never hear from him again. Shit, what should she say? Yes, of course, was what she wanted to say. But that would be kind of desperate and needy, right? She checked her boss's calendar. He was at his niece's wedding in Tahoe that weekend, and he'd wanted her memo by Friday anyway, so work shouldn't be in her way. But still, shouldn't she? She heard Maddie's voice in her head, telling her not to overthink it. She texted him back. Sure, why not? She wanted to take it back almost immediately. What the hell was she doing? Wasting another weekend on this guy? Just because she'd be done with the... Damn it, now she could only think of it as the delinquent teen's memo. By Friday, didn't mean that she wouldn't have a ton of other work to do. She'd have to do all the work that she wouldn't get to bring home every night this week because she'd be working on the memo. And when was she going to find time to pack? For a weekend in L.A.? Oh, God. She was going to have to go shopping again. She didn't have time to go shopping again. And what if he wanted to go to the beach? Would she have to wear a swimming suit? Didn't he know what she looked like in a swimming suit? Maybe this was all a joke, and she'd never hear from him again. Great, I'll check flights. I can't believe you're not spinning around in your office chair, Theo said, standing at her office door. She jumped. How did you know I had something to be spinning about? Theo plopped into the chair on the other side of her desk. Because I was sitting right there when he said he wanted the memo? The memo, right. That's what he was talking about. Oh, yeah, right. I was thinking of something else. Theo paused, mid-reach toward her candy jar. Wait a minute. What could you possibly be thinking about other than your project? He looked from Alexa's face to her phone. Who's the guy? She tried to hold back her smile and failed. Close the door. Theo jumped up to close the door and was back at her desk in seconds. Talk. We can talk about the memo in a second. I don't have another meeting for... He looked at his watch. 45 minutes. Go. She rooted through her candy jar to find a Jolly Rancher. So... funny story. Chapter 10. Some people might say Drew's terrible mood during those 2 hours after he texted Alexa was because he convinced himself she wasn't going to write back. After 10 minutes of nothing, he decided that her gentle way of letting him down would be to never answer, and his desperation would be out there, floating in the wind, forever. That wasn't why he'd been in such a bad mood, he insisted to himself, and then to Carlos, when he stopped by on the way to get more coffee. It was just because of those irritating parents he had to deal with this morning. Carlos didn't believe him. He didn't really believe himself, either. It was kind of amazing how little he cared about those irritating parents after Alexa texted back, though. In the middle of their tame text conversation about flight times, he ventured a suggestion. You gonna show up to the flight without panties like yesterday? Her reply came back within seconds. Maybe. He grinned down at his phone. Friday morning, he tried to convince himself the spring in his step was only because his apartment was spotless for the first time in months, thanks to the emergency visit from a house cleaner. Carlos was at the clinic all day, not the main hospital, so there was no one there to argue that point with him. All he had that day were some appointments in the morning and assisting Dr. Montgomery on a surgery for 4-year-old Jack, one of Drew's favorite patients. He'd been hit by a car about a month ago, and one of his bones wasn't healing right. Throughout it all, the kid had been a trooper, and his parents had been attentive and thoughtful. But Jack's surgery got pushed back, from noon to 2. Then at 1:30, word came from Dr. Montgomery's office that it was going to be at least another hour, maybe 2. Drew dropped by the waiting room to check on Jack and his parents. Jack was playing happily on the floor with a pile of Legos.
Dr. Nick, look what I did!
Hey, Jack. Good job. Hey, Abby, Fred, how are you guys holding up? Jack's mom, Abby, looked up at him and shrugged as she helped Jack pull apart 2 blue Legos.
Hanging in there, but we thought we'd be done by now. Drew sighed.
Yeah, me too. Dr. Montgomery had an emergency. I'm so sorry about this. The frustrating thing was that Drew could have done the surgery alone.
But Dr. Montgomery had taken an interest in the case, and it's not like he could tell the parents, "Oh, no, don't wait for the expert. He's not worth it." "They told us," Abby said. "At least they let us feed him a little once it got pushed back. Otherwise, this would be even more of a nightmare." Drew was grateful he'd sent word to the nurses to get Jack some food. Sometimes you had to relax the no-eating-before-surgery rules with kids. "Can I get you two anything?" Drew asked them. "Coffee, tea, water." Fred smiled at him. "Thanks, Dr. Nichols. I went on a coffee run, so we're good. Thanks for checking on us. We appreciate it." When he finally got word that Dr. Montgomery was out of his emergency surgery, he did a quick mental calculation and realized there was no way he was going to be on time to pick up Alexa from the airport. Now he'd be late. She'd be sitting at LAX, possibly without panties on, getting more and more frustrated, and the whole weekend would be fucked up. "Damn it." He called Carlos. "Hey, man, I need a huge favor." Carlos was clearly in the car. Drew could hear the air whistling through the windows. "Shouldn't you be getting ready for Alexa?" Carlos asked. Why was he friends with such a jackass? "Yeah, that's the thing. My surgery got pushed back, so I'm going to be stuck here for a while. Can you pick her up from the airport and bring her to my apartment? You have my keys, right? I'll owe you in beer for the next 2 months." He could hear Carlos's car shut off, and he got switched off speakerphone. "No problem, man. Text me her flight info and how I can find her. Or should I just take all of the short black women with big boobs at LAX to your apartment so you can pick?" Drew lay his head down on his desk. "I'm going to regret this, aren't I?" "Oh, no doubt you absolutely are. Good luck with the surgery." Drew texted Alexa the change of plans. Hopefully, she wouldn't be pissed. She knew he was a doctor, so it would be okay, right? Alexa had given her boss 2 hard copies and an email version of her memo right before he walked out the door on Friday afternoon. She'd barely slept all week, between her regular work, texting Drew, writing and editing the memo every night, thinking about Drew, and, oh yeah, stressing about the upcoming weekend. Thursday night, she'd made her last edits on the memo, after copious notes from Theo, and had packed probably way too many clothes for a weekend trip to L.A. She slipped into the bathroom at work right before leaving for the airport, stepped out of her underwear, and tucked them into the bottom of her tote bag. When she came out of the stall, she couldn't even look herself in the eye in the mirror. She sang along to her girl power playlist in the car on the way to the airport, which helped to psych herself up. But the text from Drew brought her down to earth. "My surgery got pushed back, so I'm running late. My buddy Carlos is going to pick you up and bring you to my apartment. He drives a red BMW. His number is 310-555-4827 if you can't find him, but he's got your number, too." Huh. He was a doctor. These things happened. But she felt so deflated. Now she had no real idea when she was going to get to see him tonight. How long was this surgery supposed to last? Was she supposed to just tuck herself in his bed and wait for him? Thank God she'd thrown her yoga pants in her suitcase and brought her laptop. And the friend picking her up had a red BMW? Oh, God, he was going to be one of those fancy car assholes, wasn't he? Welcome to L.A. She forced herself to put together a weekend work to-do list while on the flight. When she read it over, she saw she'd repeated 3 different things. Too distracted for more work, she pulled a fashion magazine out of her bag and updated her Sephora wish list just in case that dream gift certificate actually came. When her flight landed, she had texts from both Maddie and Theo wishing her luck, Maddie, and asking a work question, Theo, and one from a 310 number. "Hey, Alexa, Drew's friend Carlos here. Picking you up because he can't. Look for the red car. See you soon." She wished tone came through easier on text messages. Was this guy the asshole that the red sports car would make him seem? And, oh God, had Drew told him the same girlfriend story he'd given the people at the wedding, or did he know the real story? She couldn't even ask Drew because he was in surgery. She'd just have to play it by ear. 15 minutes later, Alexa stood outside and realized one of the big differences between Northern and Southern California. A lot more red sports cars in Southern California. She smiled tentatively at each one, but so far she was 0 for 5 as they sped by. Or maybe Drew hadn't described her, and Carlos was looking for one of those tall, blonde, skinny women like she'd seen in the bathroom at the wedding. She looked down at the phone, gripped in her hand, to see if maybe Carlos had texted again without her noticing. Or maybe Drew had finished his surgery and sped over from the hospital.
Alexa?
She looked up, and a red car was parked at the curb in front of her, a tall Latino guy getting out of the driver's side. Carlos? Hi. It's nice to meet you, she said.
Likewise.
He opened the passenger door for her and put her suitcase in the trunk. She settled into his car, then sat bolt upright. She really should have stopped in the bathroom and put her underwear back on. He grinned at her once they were both in the car. Did he know what she was thinking? Did guys tell one another stories like that? She had no idea.
Sorry if you had to wait, he said. I checked your flight info online, and you weren't supposed to land until right now.
They were already on their way out of the airport, dodging cars and rental car shuttles. He definitely drove like a guy driving a red sports car. Oh, my goodness, it's no problem, she said. Thank you so much for coming to pick me up. I really appreciate it. He threw a smile in her direction before pulling out of the airport.
Don't worry. Drew's going to owe me big for this one. By the way, are you hungry? I have no idea when he's going to be done, and I don't want you to starve waiting for him. Want to pick something up on the way to his place?
She set her tote bag down on the floor next to her feet, grateful that he'd asked. Maybe this guy was nicer than she'd assumed. She'd stress-eaten all of her purse snacks over the course of the work week and hadn't had time to eat anything today except for a salad at noon and a bag of peanuts on the airplane. I would love that, thank you, as long as it's not out of your way. Oh, God, she thought, please don't let him say it's out of his way. He laughed and turned down the radio.
Tons of stuff in between here and there. Plus, I'm hungry, too. Drew didn't give me much warning here.
She pulled off her cardigan and put it in her bag. Same here. He glanced at her as he changed lanes.
This was a last-minute thing. Drew couldn't have helped it. But he was definitely looking forward to you coming.
She shrugged. That was nice of Carlos to say, but thank goodness he went back to the food topic.
What are you in the mood for? In-N-Out? Pizza? Tacos?
Tacos, definitely, she said, almost salivating. She relaxed against the leather seat and let her eyes drift shut for a second. She was suddenly exhausted from the stress of the week, her sleepless nights, the last few hours of uncertainty.
Awesome.
He accelerated, and her eyes popped open. She probably should stay alert with him driving like this.
One question before I decide where to get the tacos. How are you with spicy food?
She laughed. I think my mom used to put Tabasco sauce in my bottles as a kid. I can take anything you're dishing out. He changed lanes with barely a glance over his shoulder and grinned.
Excellent.
30 minutes later, she carried their food up the stairs to Drew's apartment, while Carlos brought her suitcase. After he opened the door, she walked inside to see big windows, white walls, chrome appliances, and black and white prints everywhere. She dropped her tote bag next to the gray couch and looked around for a place to put the tacos.
Put them on the coffee table, Carlos said. The game's on. I'll get napkins and beer.
Alexa kicked off her shoes and left them in the corner by her suitcase. She wanted to change into her yoga pants and a t-shirt instead of the sleek red shift dress she'd worn to work that day. But it felt awkward to wheel her stuff into Drew's bedroom like she belonged there and change into her comfy clothes. She didn't even know where Drew's bedroom was. The spread of tacos Carlos laid out on the table distracted her.
Oh, my God, that looks so good, she said.
She tried to pay for them, but he pushed her wallet aside. To be fair, he'd ordered for her, too. He turned on the basketball game and plopped in the easy chair. Thank goodness Drew had an ugly throw blanket draped over the back of his couch. She sat in a corner, put the blanket over her lap, and tucked her feet up with a sigh of relief. "These are so good," she couldn't stop saying as they ate. "Why don't we have potato tacos at every taqueria in the Bay Area? I'm going to be angry about that for months, if not years." She poured more of the habanero salsa over her taco. Carlos added another taco to his plate and laughed.
"Don't worry," he said. "You can get potato tacos any time you come down to visit."
How was she supposed to answer that? She doubted if she'd ever be back to visit Drew. Anything she said to his friend about that would either be presumptuous or needy. So instead, she added a dollop of guacamole to her taco and took a bite. She grabbed a carnitas taco next and reached for one of the salsas that she hadn't tried yet. "Oh, no." Carlos took it away from her and handed her a container of the tomatillo salsa. "Try this one. That one I got for poor Drew. He can't do too much spice."
She raised her eyebrows at him and opened her mouth, then thought better of what she was about to say.
"I know what you were going to say," Carlos said. "It's a trial having a white dude as a best friend, but I've been working on him."
They both burst out laughing and dug back into the food. Drew heard Alexa's laugh from the other side of his apartment door. It made him smile, the way it had ever since her first laugh in the elevator. He opened the door to see her sitting with Carlos, both with plates of tacos from Carlos's favorite taqueria on their laps. Carlos must approve if he brought her there. They were laughing so hard they didn't notice him at first. Hold on. Why was Carlos still here? He hadn't told him to entertain her, just to drop her off at his apartment and let her in. He wanted to sit next to her on his couch, kiss her, tell her how hot she looked in that dress, see her smile at him, maybe reach up under her dress to check her underwear situation. Instead, she was laughing with his best friend and hadn't even heard him open the door. "Hey," was all he said. She looked up and smiled at him, just the way he'd wanted her to. He smiled back, so happy to see her that he had to take a step back.
"You get me any tacos?" he asked Carlos. "I see you're drinking my beer."
Carlos gestured to the table, but made no move to leave.
"Tacos for everyone, and I even remembered your favorite salsa. There's more beer in the fridge."
Drew went into the kitchen for a beer. At least there had been a third plate on the table, so apparently Carlos hadn't completely forgotten that Drew existed. He sat on the couch next to Alexa and took a swig of his beer. She turned to face him, her smile more tentative now. He reached for her hand, and she gripped his fingers for a second.
"You must be starving," she said. She let go of his hand, but moved closer to him on the couch. "Have some tacos. How did the surgery go?"
He loaded up his plate and moved closer to her in the process, so by the time he sat back against the couch cushions, they were hip to hip. Carlos was intent on the basketball game, but he had a tiny smirk on his face. He knew Drew was dying to get rid of him. Damn him. He took a bite, realized he hadn't answered her question, tried to talk, then saw the error in that. She laughed at him, and he grinned once he could.
"Surgery went well. This is that kid I was telling you about last weekend, the one who was in the car accident."
He took another bite, happy that she was relaxed against him. "Sorry that I couldn't pick you up."
"It's okay," she said.
She wiped her hands with a paper towel and set her plate back down on the table.
"Will you need to go into the hospital this weekend to check on him?"
He paused, a taco halfway toward his mouth.
"I kind of wanted to. Do you mind? I can go early in the morning so I don't..."
She cut him off with a hand wave.
"No, of course I don't mind. Go whenever it works best for him. We can figure it out."
She sat back against the couch, her leg rubbing against his whenever she changed position. What was her underwear situation? He'd never find out until Carlos left. He caught Carlos's eye and his, "You had better leave my apartment this second or I'll egg your car on a hot day," threat must have been on his face, because Carlos grinned and stood up.
"Alexa, a pleasure meeting you. I hope it's the first of many such meetings.
Drew, see you Monday."
Alexa stood up and hugged Carlos.
Thanks for picking me up, and for the tacos. Great to meet you, too.
Well, wasn't that cozy?
The door closed behind Carlos a few seconds later, and when Alexa sat back down next to Drew on the couch, he put his plate on the coffee table.
Hi, he said.
He'd been dying for Carlos to leave. So why did it feel awkward now? Why did he feel like this? He was never nervous around women.
Hi.
She smiled back at him, but her hands were clasped together tightly again. It made him feel better that she was nervous, too.
Sorry I couldn't pick you up, he said again.
His hand moved up into her hair, and he rubbed his fingers through the strands.
It's okay.
She turned so her whole body was facing his. Her hands let go of each other, and one of them came to rest on his thigh. He moved his hand from her hair to her cheek. She closed her eyes and leaned her face into his palm. They sat like that in silence for a minute or so. Finally, she opened her eyes and looked at him, a dreamy smile on her lips. His hand moved from her cheek to her chin, and he lowered his head to hers. It had been less than a week, but her lips on his arms wrapped around her, her hands in his hair, it all felt like coming home after months away. Like all he needed was this, the gentle pressure of her lips, the soft strokes of her tongue, her touches and sighs, to make him happy.
I couldn't wait for Carlos to leave, she said against his ear.
He laughed and relaxed back on the couch, pulling her with him. She leaned her head on his chest, and he ran his fingers through her hair.
He was doing that to fuck with me. I know it. But I was so ready to kill him.
He ran his hand down from her hip to her knee, over her dress.
He paused and slid his hand back up, under her dress this time.
Did you...
Her wide smile was all the answer he needed. In a flash, he pressed her down on the couch and braced his body over hers.
Did you plan on telling me this at some point?
He ran his hand up the outside of her leg again, this time pushing her dress up along with it. She smiled again from beneath him as she caressed his chest, unbuttoning his shirt as she went.
You seemed to like the surprise so much last time. I didn't want to spoil it.
I liked the surprise last time a lot, that's true.
He pushed her legs apart with his knee while she unbuckled his belt. He kissed her again, harder this time. His thumb ran over her breasts, and she moaned as she kissed him back. She ran her hands up under his shirt. He never wanted her to stop touching him.
Fuck.
Condoms were all in his bedroom. Hold that thought. He stood up, pushing the coffee table out of the way. One of the containers of salsa spilled everywhere. He couldn't care less. He looked down at Alexa on his couch, dress crumpled around her waist, hair every which way, and grinned. It had been a great idea to have her come down for the weekend.
Wait right there. Don't move, not one millimeter. I'll be right back.
He ran into his bedroom and grabbed a condom out of the box in his nightstand. He ran back into the living room a minute later.
You moved, he said.
She looked up at him, her now naked body sprawled across his couch.
You left, she said. I had to do something to keep myself occupied while I waited for you.
God damn, this woman.
He threw his clothes across the room and crawled up her body.
Tell me what you want, Alexa, he said,
his naked body suspended over hers.
I want you to stop asking me stupid questions, she said, and pulled him down so he was flush against her.
He laughed. Point taken, he said, and pushed her legs open. Later, as they lay together on a couch, he looked at the wreckage of his living room. Three couch pillows on the floor, clothes in every corner, salsa everywhere.
Welcome to Los Angeles, he said in her ear.
She laughed and turned her face to kiss him. Chapter 11 Alexa woke up the next morning, her back tucked against his chest, his arms cocooning her.
She couldn't fight the warmth that spread through her chest at the way he held her, the way he touched her. He embraced her like he meant it, like he cared. He was probably always just like this with women. She knew it wasn't real, but damn, did it feel good. And then, the times he touched her in other ways. Holy shit, were those times amazing. What was it about this guy and her reaction to him? She'd never felt so uninhibited around a man before, especially without her clothes on. Her cheeks got hot when she thought about throwing her clothes off on his couch. She hadn't worried about what he would think of her, or the cellulite in her thighs, or the way her stomach jiggled, or how her boobs drooped. She only thought about his pleasure and her own. Last weekend, she thought that it was because it was a one-night stand, that it was the craziness of the wedding and the champagne and the knowledge that she'd never see him again that made her so relaxed around him. But now, maybe it was just something about him. Whatever it was, she was going to enjoy it all weekend. She felt him nuzzle the back of her neck and giggled. "So she is awake," he said, his mouth still on her skin. "Mm-hmm," she responded, not wanting him to move. But then he started to move, his hands and his lips and his tongue, and it turned out that she didn't mind so much. Afterward, she snuggled against him, both of them hot and sweaty and breathless. "Drew," she whispered in his ear. She felt him smile against her cheek. "I'll go turn on the coffee in a second." They drank coffee in the sun on his balcony as they looked out at the ocean, him in boxers, her in a flannel robe she'd found in his bathroom. She took her first long sip and sighed. He looked from his own mug to her. "That was a good sigh, yes?" She looked at him, then down at her coffee, so she wouldn't smile at him too much. "Good, yes. You make good coffee." He leaned back in his chair and laughed. "A skill I had to learn in med school, or get my stomach torn apart by the stuff in the cafeteria." She laughed and took another sip. "Hey, Alexa," Drew said, that little boy smile back on his face. She would probably do whatever he wanted when he smiled at her like that, or any kind of way. "I'm hungry, too," was all she said. "The thing is, I don't really have much food in the house. I was planning on going to the grocery store before picking you up at the airport, but..." She stood up. "I'll jump in the shower." Drew had noticed Alexa's sweet tooth at the wedding, so he brought her to a brunch place where everyone raved about the waffles. She ordered them with blueberries on top, and he stole a few tastes in between bites of his omelet and bacon. When they walked back to his car, he realized how close to the hospital they were. "We're only about 5 minutes from the hospital. If you want, I can drop you at home first, but I was thinking that I could just run in and say hi to Jack." She smiled up at him. "Sure, of course. You don't have to just run in, you know. I mean, if you have work to do, I get it." He opened her car door, then went around and got in on his side. "No, really, I only want to say hi. I'm not on call this weekend. I don't want to be that asshole who second-guesses the doctors working that day." He kept looking over at her as he drove the short distance to the hospital. Her eyes were closed as she leaned back in the seat, her hand in his, her thumbs lazily stroking his palm. He liked the way she could give herself up to enjoying things like car rides on a sunny day, her morning coffee, lying in the grass at the Loris Park. Being around her made him enjoy all of those things more, too. He pulled into the hospital parking lot and squeezed her hand. "Let's go." Her eyes widened. She didn't take her seatbelt off. "Shouldn't I just wait here? Confidentiality and all? I don't mind waiting. I have books on my phone." She was only here for the weekend, and he'd already missed time with her the night before. "No, come inside. I can show you all the toys. Just step outside the room if I give you the nod." He didn't reach for her hand on the way into the hospital. There were too many eyes around the hospital. He already knew he'd be getting questions on Monday morning about who the girl he brought in on Saturday was. He didn't need to make the questions even more pointed. They went straight up to Jack's room on the pediatric floor, Both of Jack's parents were there, looking exhausted. Jack's cheeks were too pale, and he was unusually silent, but he was sitting up in bed.
"Hey, Jack," Drew said as he walked in. "How are you feeling today?"
Jack swiveled to the door when he heard Drew's voice and giggled.
"Dr. Nick, you aren't wearing your doctor costume."
Drew laughed, moving close enough to the bed for Jack to give him a high five with his good arm.
"I know. I'm off duty for doctoring today. I just wanted to come by and check in on you since I was in the neighborhood."
He smiled at Jack's parents. "Abby, Fred, how are you guys?"
"Hanging in there," Abby said to him.
He saw her eyes dart to the door, and he realized Alexa was still standing in the doorway. He lowered his voice.
"I was nearby with a friend. Is it okay if she comes in to say hi to Jack? If not, it's no problem. She can wait in my office."
Abby smiled.
"It's fine. Jack's been getting bored with just us for entertainment."
He waved Alexa to his side.
"Hey, Jack, I brought a friend of mine to meet you.
Jack, this is my friend Alexa. Can you say hi?"
"Hi,"
Jack giggled again.
"You're not wearing a doctor costume either."
Alexa laughed as she offered her fist to Jack. "No, but that's because I'm not a doctor. Sorry, Jack." Drew picked up Jack's chart from the end of the bed and checked it, satisfied with Jack's status.
"How's the pain?"
he said in a low voice to Fred as Jack chattered away with Alexa.
"He woke up a few times in the night. Abby was with him, but they seemed to be managing it well."
"Dr. Nick, Dr. Nick, Mommy said I couldn't get out of bed yet, but I told her you would say I could, won't you?"
He gave Jack his full attention and let himself get sucked into a conversation about Jack's favorite video game before he realized they'd been there for longer than he'd intended. He looked up, expecting to find Alexa watching him and Jack, but she was over in the corner, deep in conversation with Abby.
Huh. It wasn't like he'd brought her here so she could see what a good doctor he was, but she could at least notice.
"Jack, I'm going to have to say goodbye now, but I'll see you in a few days, okay?" Abby looked in their direction.
"Say thank you to Dr. Nichols for coming by to see you, Jack."
Alexa pulled something out of her purse and handed it to Abby, who hugged her. Alexa waved to Jack as they walked out of his room. He took her hand as soon as they entered the parking lot.
"How did you get a hug out of Abby? She still calls me Dr. Nichols in that very formal voice," he said.
"Oh, I was just giving her some advice about the kinds of services they could get. She told me about the accident and that it was a drunk driver." He dug in his pocket for his car key.
"What does she mean, services?"
"They have good health insurance, I think. Fred works for one of the studios."
She checked her phone and frowned at it before looking back up at him.
"I know, she told me. But good insurance only goes so far. I meant all of the crime victims' services that they can get from the state. Counseling, compensation, help at home, stuff like that."
She said she vaguely remembered being told about it right after the accident, but had no idea how to access that stuff.
No wonder Abby had hugged her.
"So you gave her your card? What's the Berkeley's mayor's office going to do about a kid in L.A.?" She looked back up from her phone and shrugged as they got in the car. "I have a list at work of all the right people for her to contact. I told her to email me, and I can send it all her way and introduce her to some victims' rights advocates I know who can help her navigate it all. I can send them quick emails and CC her, just to speed things up a little."
He pulled onto the road for the short drive back to his apartment.
"How did you get all of that out of her in 10 minutes? Teach me your secrets, Monroe."
Alexa grinned and put her phone back in her purse. "Thank God. I have a way with people, don't you know? I work in politics." He put his hand on her thigh. She shifted her body toward him and smiled.
You sure do have a way with people. The way you dealt with the Inquisition we got at the wedding was pretty impressive, I have to say.
Friendly deflection is one of my special talents."
She put her hand on top of his. And Abby looked so worried. It's good to be able to help, if you can.
Oh, Lord. He probably thought she was some bleeding-heart interferer now, butting into one of his cases when no one asked her to.
But the look on that mom's face had broken her heart. Was she not supposed to try to help? Fine, she was a bleeding heart interferer. It was probably in her job description. When they got to his apartment, he stopped her just inside the door. Anyway, thanks for coming along to see Jack, and for being so nice to Abby. They've had a rough time. Drew pulled her into his arms, enveloping her into a hug that somehow felt more intimate than anything they'd done before. She leaned her head into his chest and relaxed against him. She felt him exhale a deep breath and tightened her grip on his back, the worn cotton of his T-shirt smooth against her fingers. He bent down and kissed her hair, her ear, and when she tilted her head to look at him, her mouth. "I really appreciated you being there," he said, when he pulled away. She moved her hands up and under his shirt, loving the way he tensed at her touch. "Show me," she said. He slung her over his shoulder in one quick motion, making her gasp. "Drew, no, I'm too heavy." Ignoring her, he strode with her into the bedroom and tossed her down on his bed. She laughed when she bounced as she hit the mattress, but her laughter faded when he threw his clothes off and stood there naked in front of her. "Oh, my." When he made a move to jump on the bed along with her, she held up a hand to stop him. "Don't move. Just stand there for a minute." Despite all of the times they'd had sex so far, she had yet to really see him naked. It had either been too frantic, or too dark, or too early in the morning for her to really pay attention. But now he stood there, the bright afternoon light from his bedroom windows streaming in on his hard body, and she spent a moment in pure awe. She knew just from touching him the contours of his chest and that light sprinkling of hair, but it was quite another to see it in front of her, golden from the sun, hers to look at as long as she wanted. She lifted her finger in the air and spun it around to make him twirl like he was a beauty pageant contestant. Glory of glories, he obeyed her. The rush she got out of the pure power of that was only overwhelmed by her sight of his perfect, round, cuppable ass. "Come here." He didn't have to be told twice. He took a flying leap onto the bed and immediately rolled her underneath him, affording her the perfect opportunity to grab onto that ass and pull him against her. She ran her hands all over his body, loving the sounds he made as she touched him, loving that he seemed to be enjoying this as much as she was. "You wore panties today, didn't you?" he said in her ear. Not waiting for an answer, he reached down and grabbed the thong she'd worn, pulled it off her, and threw it across the room. "Your turn," he said, looking down at her. She didn't pretend to misunderstand him, even though she wanted to. What was that she'd been thinking earlier about how relaxed and confident she was around him? Because that feeling had faded after seeing his perfect body and knowing all of her own imperfections by heart, and how bright and sun-filled his bedroom was. She suddenly really regretted those waffles at brunch. He didn't let her hesitate, though. He pulled her dress over her head, reached around her back, and unhooked her bra, and then leaned back on his heels to look at her. She tried to force herself to look at his face, but her cheeks got hot, and she had to look away. Her eyes drifted down his body, and that's when she saw clear evidence that he enjoyed looking at her body. She smiled. "Oh, you like that, don't you?" he said. "But wait, I was supposed to be showing you how much I appreciate you, wasn't I?" He slid down her body, pressing her legs open with his shoulders. She held her hands against his hair to keep him right where she wanted him. He increased the pace, and she moaned, her head shaking from side to side on the pillow. It felt so good, she wanted it to stop and go on forever, all at the same time. Finally, she hit her peak and cried out as the vibrations rumbled through her body. He crawled up the bed, so his head was level with hers, and lay on his side next to her, his hand stroking her stomach as her breathing slowed.
"Do you feel appreciated now?" he asked.
He kissed her neck and moved down to her breasts, his hand moving up to join his mouth.
"Mmm," she answered.
She leaned forward to kiss his shoulder, then pushed him until he fell on his back. She grinned and climbed on top of him.
"I think you've done enough work for this afternoon, don't you?"
She kissed him up and down his body, her fingers stroking his skin. She looked up at him. His arms were crossed behind his head. His whole body looked relaxed, and he was looking straight at her with that look that made her feel like a goddess. She ripped open the condom packet he'd left on the pillow and rolled the condom on. Usually, it made her anxious to be on top. There was so much scrutiny in that position, so many parts of her body that jiggled, so much to make her feel shy. But she couldn't feel anything but pleasure when Drew's eyes worshipped her body like that. When Alexa came to, she was still on top of him, her head pillowed by his chest. He reached down to pull off the condom, and she tried to roll off him, but he held her in place. She didn't fight it. He massaged her back as she lay there, and she felt like she could easily stay just like that for a few days, maybe a few weeks. He leaned forward and kissed her ear. "Feeling appreciated yet?" She shrugged as much as she could in her prone position.
"I mean, if that's all you can do, I guess so."
He growled in her ear and rolled her over underneath him as she laughed. Chapter 12. Alexa woke up the next morning alone in bed. She assumed that Drew was in the bathroom, but when he didn't get back in bed after a few minutes, she sat up and saw his bathroom door open and the light off. She pulled on his robe and wandered into the kitchen in the hopes that he was making coffee, but he wasn't there either. She decided that he'd probably gone for a run on the beach like he said he did some mornings. She sort of wished he'd left her a note, but forced herself to shrug it off. She got back in bed with her neglected phone to check her work email. But first things first, she typed out a quick reply to a text from Maddie that just said, "Question mark, question 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 mark. Weekend so far. Having fun. Eating good food. Great sex. Don't wish you were here." Just then, she heard Drew's front door quietly open and close. "Oh, you're awake." He tiptoed into the bedroom, holding two cups of coffee in a tray and a bakery bag. "I thought you'd still be asleep." She looked at the bag, and then back to him. "I thought you went for a run, but this is much better." "What's in the bag?" He laughed and handed her one of the coffee cups. "Don't you want to ask what's in the cup?" She rolled her eyes. "I know what's in the cup. I have eyes and a sense of smell. It's coffee. What I want to know is, what's in that bag?" She paused. "What I meant to say right there was, thank you for the coffee." He sat down on the bed next to her, still keeping the bag out of her reach. "Weird. That's not what it sounded like." She put the cup on the bedside table so she wouldn't spill it, and reached for the bag. But he easily dodged her and flipped her over onto her back, the bag still out of reach. "Drew!" He kissed her on the tip of her nose. "I like you in this position." She pulled his face down to kiss him. "What's in the bag, Drew?" He laughed and tossed the bag into her lap. "I thought I'd distracted you there for a minute." She opened the bag to find a half dozen donuts, and her stomach rumbled. "Oh, my goodness! What is all of this? This is amazing!" He grinned. "Now I know what you must have been like opening Christmas presents as a kid. A plain glazed, one raspberry jelly-filled, one lemon jelly-filled, one with rainbow sprinkles, and two with bacon and maple frosting." "Bacon and maple frosting? What is this place? Is it direct from my wildest dreams?" Drew laughed as he grabbed one of the bacon donuts for himself. "You have no idea how great this donut shop is. I almost woke you up to make you come with me. But you were so sound asleep,
I didn't want to disturb you. Next time, though, you should come.
Next time? What did next time mean in this context? It was Sunday, and she was leaving in less than 12 hours.